Well, have you ever stopped to wonder what it is that makes one thing to be so very valuable and something else to have very little value? Have you ever wondered about that? What is it that makes that distinction? One thing is very valuable, something else, not so much, not so much. Well, basically, it's the same law that is so important in a successful business. And in every successful business, the businessman will understand that there's a law that works there that determines the value of his product, and it's called the law of supply and demand, right? The law of supply and demand. The law works two ways. If there is plenty of supply, but there's no demand, you have a warehouse full of stuff, but you have no business, okay? You have a warehouse full of stuff, but you're not making any money. You have a lot of supply, but little demand. On the other hand, the other side of this thing is that there is plenty of demand. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. I said that already, didn't I? There's plenty of demand, that's right, and little supply. Okay, got it right. You can tell I'm not a businessman, right? And so you have those two things. And of course we all understand that when there's plenty of supply and little demand, then the item has no value. Nobody's buying it. But on the other hand, if there's plenty of demand but little supply, then the price is going to go up, 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 right? That's why land is so expensive in Singapore. They're not making any more dirt, okay? This is all we got. This is all we got. And so the law of supply and demand. Now, using that basic law of business, we discover that there is one commodity that all of us have it. It's one commodity that all of us have at our disposal, and yet the reality is, I dare say, that none of us really value it as we should. And the commodity that I'm talking about is our time. Our time. How do we use this gift of time that God has given to us? How do we use that? A fellow by the name of Michael Fortino, he's a time management expert, and also the president of a incorporation called Priority Management Pittsburgh. But he conducted a year-long study, and he discovered that during a normal lifetime, the average American — I haven't been able to find any figures like this for Singapore, but I suppose probably they may be similar — but he said the average American will, during their lifetime, will spend 6 months of their life sitting at a traffic light. Isn't that exciting? He found that they will usually spend 1 year looking for lost articles. Can't find my keys, I can't find my glasses. Some of us, we spend more than that looking for stuff, especially now that our wife is not around to keep track of all of our things, you know. So yeah, I think I've spent a year this past month, okay? But anyway, we spend in America an average of about 5 years waiting in a queue somewhere, waiting in line. We spend about 6 years eating. Some more. and so we spend about 6 years just eating, okay? We spend 9 years watching television or other types of entertainment. We spend 19 years working. Some may more than that. We spend 23 years sleeping, and it's still not enough, is it? By the way, it was also discovered that we spend in our lifetime about 6 months worshiping God. We spend about 6 months and a whole lifetime. We spend about 6 months worshiping God. And how sad it is to think that the God who created us and the God who saved us ranks right up there with the traffic light. Same amount of time. Napoleon Bonaparte once said this. He said, "I defeated the Austrians." Here was the secret to his success. He said, "I defeated the Austrians because they never learned the value of 5 minutes. They never learned the value of and they were defeated because of it. They were defeated because of it. You see, the fact is, if we were to break it right down to its most basic element, time is the stuff that your life is made of. And it's your most valuable possession. Because once that time is gone, it can never be brought back. Did you realize that let's say, Brother Luke says, "Pastor Crocker, can I talk to you for a minute?" "Sure." And so we talk together for about 5 minutes or so, and then he goes on his way, I go my way. But do you realize that when I gave him that 5 minutes, I gave him something I could never give to my wife, I can never give it to my kids, I can never give it to my grandchildren, because it is forever gone. I gave it to him. It's not going to come back anymore. It's gone. That's what time is. And so therefore, it's very important for us that we understand the seriousness when it comes to wasting the time that God has given to us in our life. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we've been learning that we are called to be stewards of all of the things that God has entrusted to us. And we're to be using those things that God has given to us in a way that will honor and in a way that will glorify Him. And that covers our material possessions. It covers our own physical bodies. It covers our knowledge of God's truth. It covers our occupations or our jobs that God has given to us. And then you remember last time we saw that we are to also be stewards of our own selves. In other words, we're to give ourselves every part. We're to give ourselves completely to God's control. Well, now we come to this thing that I want us to notice tonight, and that's the stewardship of our time. The stewardship of our time. And there's two main points that I want us to notice together for the next few minutes. Number one, I want us to notice the schedules of our lives. The schedules of our lives. When Solomon became king of Israel, he was given a blank check by God. In other words, he could ask for whatever it was that he desired to have. And God said, "Solomon, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you." This thing is frozen up. Would you see if you can loosen it up? And so he said, I'll give it to you, whatever you want. Whatever you want. That's a good reason why I think I'm going to quit preaching from an electronic device. The on-off switch is on the top left. How about if we just throw it on the floor and kick it across the room? That may help. Okay. Well, does anybody know any good stories you want to share with us? So Solomon talked about... give me one of those note papers. We'll go from that. See if we can remember to fill in the blanks. And so Solomon was given the option. You choose whatever it is you want. God said, I'll give you whatever you want. And in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3 and in verse number 12, the Bible says this. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 12, it says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart." That was what Solomon asked for. More than wealth and more than fame and more than security and more than great armies, more than great victories. He said, "I want wisdom." And so God said, "This is exactly what I've given to you. I've given to you what you've asked for. I've given you a wise and an understanding heart so that..." Okay. Oh, here's your paperback. And so Solomon, because of that, Solomon was the wisest man who has ever lived. He was the wisest man who's ever lived. And it was that wisdom that caused him to write the passage that I want us to notice together. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. But it's found in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and beginning in verse number 1, here's what he wrote. He said, "To everything there is a season. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak." Boy, if we could just learn that one, right? "A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." In other words, all through our life, there are certain seasons, there are certain times when things are appropriate, there are times when things are not appropriate. But as we go through and as we analyze these verses, basically it breaks down into three things. And I want to mention them to you. First of all, we might call this the schedule of life. And first of all, we find that there is a time for birth. There is a time for birth. God has a schedule for every person's life, and it begins with the moment that you are born into this world. The moment you're born into this world, no one has ever been born by accident. We're born by God's design, and we are born according to God's timetable. David understood that great truth. In Psalm 139, verse 13 to verse number 16, David said this. He said, "For thou," talking about God, he said, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works." Someone has well said, God doesn't make junk. Okay? You're fearfully, you're wonderfully made with a very good plan, a very good purpose. And he said, "That my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." That passage right there is one of those absolutely amazing passages because of the scientific information contained there that men did not know until just recently. David said that God had written all his members in a book. I believe that's a reference to the DNA code that determined every member of David's physical body. It was all laid out. God wrote it in a book. Before he was ever fashioned, God had it all planned out, exactly what his hair color would be, what his eye color would be, how tall he would be, how short he would be, how big he would be, how small he would be. God had it all planned out. It was made exactly according to God's plan. And from the moment, here's the point, from the moment of your conception, God knew all about you. He knew all about you. And before we were totally formed, God already had a plan and already had a purpose for our life. There is the time. There is the time for birth. Letter B. There is also the time for death. We might call these the two bookends of life. Begins with birth, ends with death. And these are the bookends of our life. Not only does God know all about the beginning of our life, but He also knows all about our exit from this world. David, again, in Psalm 31, verse 15, said, "My times are in Thy hands." My times are in Thy hands. The writer in Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, there is a judgment. And between that day of our birth and the day of our death, remember the bookends of life? Between the day of our birth and the day of our death, there is what we might call, letter C, there is the time for opportunity. There is the time for opportunity. First of all, there is an opportunity for salvation. An opportunity for salvation. Once a man's eyes close in death, Brother Joshua and I were talking about this earlier before the service tonight, and once a man's eyes close in death, there is no more opportunity for that man to be saved. There is no more opportunity for that person to come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Even though there are some religions that teach you can be baptized for the dead, some religions teach you can burn candles and earn God's favor on those who have already departed, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that once a man's soul departs from this physical body, his eternal destiny is forever set and nothing can change it. Nothing can change it. And so this is the opportunity during this lifetime. God gives us the opportunity to be saved. The Bible says, that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." This is the time. This is the time. Not only is there the opportunity for salvation, but there is also the opportunity for serving. The opportunity for serving. If we are going to do all that God has ordained for us to accomplish during our lifetime, then we must not waste the opportunities that He gives to us to live for Him. We must not waste the opportunities that He gives to us to serve Him. We need to strive to be like the Lord Jesus in John 17 and verse number 4 when He prayed in his prayer, His high priestly prayer. He said, "I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work Thou gavest me to do." I've finished the work. You say, well, he's God, you know. I'm only a human. Well, let me give you what a human said. The Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul said, "I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I've kept the faith." In other words, the Apostle Paul had accomplished, just like the Lord Jesus, he accomplished everything that God had planned for the purpose of his life. Now, every one of us right now, tonight, we're in this stage right here. We're in this stage of opportunity. We're in this stage of opportunity, in this thing that we call life. This is the time that God has given to us to trust in Him and to serve Him. And the way we use these opportunities that God has given is going to be the major subject of discussion when we stand before Him. That's why Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, he brings the book to a conclusion. And here's what he said. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and verse 14, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The whole duty of man. Sometimes people say, "Well, you know, I can't serve the Lord because I have to do this and I have to do this, you know, and I have these responsibilities and this responsibility and that responsibility." And we have all these good excuses why we can't serve God, why we can't do what God wants us to do. But folks, the Bible says our whole duty is wrapped up in one thing. Your only duty in life, the only duty that we really have in life, is to fear God and to keep His commandments. That's our duty. And the reason why that is so absolutely as important is because it says in verse number 14 that God shall bring every work into judgment. God is going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so these are the periods in our life. There's the time of our birth, the time of our death, and in between all of that, there is the time of our opportunities. Time of our opportunities. Now, understanding these things to be so, we need to also understand the stewardship of life's schedule. The stewardship of life's schedule. We have no real control over when we are born, and we don't have a whole lot of control over when we're going to die. Those dates are in the hands of God. Those times are in His hand. And so therefore, our responsibility, since we have no control over the other two, our responsibility focuses on this time of our opportunities. And our responsibility is to be properly using this present time of opportunities in a way that will honor and glorify our God. That's what the psalmist was talking about when he prayed this prayer. In Psalm 90 and verse number 12, he said, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Teach us to number our days. So let's notice three points that will help us to wisely number our days. Three things that will help us in dealing with this period in our life called the times of opportunity. To be good stewards of our time, there are some things that we need to do. Letter A, we need to set our goals. We need to set our goals. The question I would ask is simply this: what is it that you want to see accomplished in your life? What's your goal? What is it that you want your life to accomplish? And the goals that you have in mind, whatever it may be that comes to your mind right now, the goals that you have in mind will help you then to do the next thing, which is to set your priorities. To set your priorities. Obviously, there are not enough hours in a day to do everything we want to do. So we have to set priorities. We have to set priorities. And the key to having right priorities is to simply desire those things that are right. You want to have right priorities? Then you have to desire what is right. You have to desire what is right. I think that's what David had in mind. And in Psalm 37, verse 4, when he said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." You see, if our greatest desire is to do God's will, if our greatest desire is to accomplish His plan and purpose for our life, if that's the goal that we have, if that's really the goal that we have, that we want to please God, we want to serve God, and we want to accomplish all that God wants to accomplish in and through our life, then our priorities will reflect that desire. Our priorities will reflect that desire. And there are three priorities that should be seen in the life of every believer. There are three priorities that all of us should have in common. First of all, we should have a priority in our life concerning the Lord's work. Number one, the Lord's work. That should be a priority in our life. Now, you remember we talked before a couple of weeks ago about the difference between occupation, right, and vocation. And you remember we saw how that our vocation, all of us have the same vocation. It's actually a calling. And we're called to this vocation by God. And our vocation is simply that we are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That's the vocation God has given to us. That's the vocation that we have. And so we are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. And in order to do that effectively, we must give ourselves completely to Him. We need to allow Him to be in control of our life, and we need to allow His Word to form the way we think. We need to allow His Word to set the way that we look at things and the way we view things. And everything that we do should be done remembering that we are a child of God, and we should be remembering what it is that God has called us to do, to represent Him. And that's the work. And so the number one priority in our life as Christians, first of all, should be the Lord's work. Now there's another priority that ought to be in the life of every Christian. Not only the Lord's work, but also, number two, the Lord's day. The Lord's day. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6, the Lord gave a very clear principle. It's a command, but it's also a principle for all men. And the principle or the command was simply this: 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, I want you to notice there's two locations that are mentioned here in this verse. First of all, there is what is called the holy convocation. The holy convocation. What that simply means is a holy gathering together. It's a holy gathering together when all the people of Israel would assemble themselves together for the reading of the law. It was a holy convocation. I want you to notice another location is mentioned here as well. It talks about in all your dwellings. In all your dwellings. In other words, in the home. You see, not only was God to be honored and worshipped and His Word read in the public gathering, but also in the home it was to be read and it was to be honored. So the Sabbath day was a day of rest. It was a day of rest from the physical activities of the world, and it was a day of spiritual rest in their relationship with God. That's what the Sabbath day was all about. Now, in this New Testament age, the only thing that has changed is the day. We don't meet on the Sabbath day anymore. We now meet on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why when you come through the New Testament, you find the people in those New Testament churches, they were meeting on the first day of the week to hear the preaching of God's Word. They brought their offerings on the first day of the week. So the principle the principle. It's still the same. Just the day has changed. Just the day has changed. And so just like the Old Testament Sabbath, Sunday now is the day that God has commanded that we ought to set apart. And we ought to set that part, that day apart, as a day of physical rest and also a day of spiritual worship. And that day should have a place of high priority in our lives. It ought to have a place of high priority in our lives. This attitude that sometimes I hear people say, well, Pastor, I'll be at church if nothing more important happens. Shame on you if you ever say that. There's nothing, nothing more important than God's house. God's work, priority. God's day, priority. Number three, the Lord's servant. I'm talking about yourself. I'm talking about yourself. Certainly we ought to take care of our physical bodies. We ought to get the sufficient rest, the sufficient diet. We ought to get the sufficient exercise that is needed to maintain good health. But even more than the physical sense, more than the physical sense, it ought to be a priority in our life every day that we want to grow spiritually. That we want to grow spiritually stronger. By getting into God's Word and spending time with the Lord and reading His Word and spending time on our knees in prayer, seeking God's wisdom and God's direction and God's power, so that as we go through the day, that we might be able to avoid the pitfalls that Satan would put before us, that we might be able to represent our Savior well as we should. Now, once we have the goals, and once we have the priorities, since they are oftentimes going to be changed, then we need to be constantly determined that we're going to let her see. We're going to set our purpose. We're going to set our purpose. Remember, our highest objective is to use the time that God gives us every day in a way that will honor and glorify Him. And our heart's desire should be like the desire which our Lord Jesus stated. John chapter 5, verse 20, He's our great example, right? Listen to what He said. He said, I seek not my own will. I seek not my own will. Just think back over today, okay? From the time you woke up this morning to right now. How many times through this day did you say, I want to do whatever? I want to go wherever. In other words, you said, this is my will. This is what I want to accomplish. This is what I want to do. See? But I wonder how often we say, I'm not going to seek what I want to do. I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus who said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. How often do we say that? How often do we say that? In other words, before we set any goal and before we set any priority in our life, we ought to ask if that is really how God wants us to use the time that He has entrusted to us. Is that really how God wants us to use our time? The Apostle Paul gave this admonition in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Here's what he said we ought to be doing. He said we ought to be redeeming the time. And the reason why we need to be redeeming the time is because the days are evil. We need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Again, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, he says the same thing. He says we're to be redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. In other words, when it comes to the time that God has given to each one of us, the question I would ask is simply this. Are you spending it? Are you spending your time to enjoy and to gain the things of the world? Or are you investing your time? to accomplish things that are eternal. See, time is passing. Okay, time is passing. We have a certain amount of time God's given to us, and every second that time is being depleted. So the question is, are you spending the time, okay, or are you investing the time in things that are going to be eternal? To waste our time, folks, to waste the time that God has given to us is to waste our life. You waste your time, you waste your life. And so may God help us to be wise when it comes to this matter, the stewardship of our time. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight.